Lord God, tonight, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christmas Eve is a night of wonder as we contemplate the reality of the incarnation, God the Son, Jesus, who set aside his eternal divine nature to be birthed by Mary and to become human. While God had walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and God met face to face with Moses, this was the first time God took on flesh, becoming one of us. This was the culmination of God's plan. His plan birthed in eternity, his divine plan from creation to new creation to redeem his people. This was the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham, that Abraham and his descendants would be a blessing unto all the families of the earth. This was the fulfillment of God's promises through the prophets, that God would send a future king, a redeemer, a Messiah to save his people. And through the prophets, God promised that he would save his people, the Jews, and that it would also be a blessing and salvation unto the Gentiles and offered to all nations. The incarnation was a light of hope that broke into a very dark and hopeless time for God's people. It wasn't a time of joy when Jesus was born. They were waiting for their deliverance. Looking back 600 years before the birth of Jesus, we find Isaiah. Last week, we read one of Isaiah's prophecies where the Lord spoke through Isaiah to King Ahaz, and he promised a future hope, a future sign. In Isaiah 7, the Lord said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Tonight, we read another one of the messianic prophecies through the lips of Isaiah. You have that in front of you, where God's promised Messiah is declared in verse 6 to be a child to be born, one who will be a son, whose government and whose peaceful reign will never end. We must remember that God's prophetic, messianic promises were delivered to his people during severe times of suffering, of powerlessness. They included declarations of God's righteous judgment over his people for their sinful disobedience and for their idolatry. Ultimately, Jerusalem and the great temple were destroyed, the people scattered and persecuted, freedoms lost, and they were forced to live under foreign rule and occupation. And that's what was happening at the time Jesus was born. King David's Psalter was their songbook through those generations as they cried to the Lord, "How long? How long, O Lord, will you be angry with us forever? How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? How long shall my enemy triumph?" I know that many of you have wrestled with, and perhaps wrestle now, with those questions. Now you are in the midst of darkness and you wonder, how long? Tonight we read God's future answer to those questions. It was a future answer because it was a promise of hope declared 600 years before the birth of Jesus. Take a look. Verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Now notice that the Lord isn't promising through Isaiah that the people will see a great light. The words declare it has happened. It's in the past tense. And I love this. This is what's called the prophetic past. It's predicting future events in the past tense because they're as good as done. Is that not remarkable? I want you to embrace that and understand that tonight. The prophetic past is predicting future events in the past tense because they're as good as done. 600 years before Christ's birth, God's deliverance was as good as done. Isaiah was saying, you can count on it. Verse 4, we read, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. Now, his refers to Israel, the people. The yoke of the people's burden, you have broken, it's done. The staff on their shoulders or the stick against their back, you have broken. The rod of their oppressor, you have broken. It is as good as done. God declared to his people a message of hope, that these things will happen and that they're as good as done. Now, verse 6. Let's read this together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now this is translated in the ESV, for to us a child is born. That can encapsulate the past tense, but the Jewish translation, the Tanakh translation, reads, for to us a child has been born. To us a son has been given. It's as good as done. Referring back to verse 2, upon a people who have lived in deep darkness, a bright light has shined. Light has broken through, broken into the darkness. At the time of Christ's birth, we see that light. Turn your page over in the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth. Verse 10, the angel has appeared and the glory of the Lord is shown around the shepherds. I'm imagining the glory of the Lord was fairly bright. They were filled with great fear. And the angels declared, I bring you good news of great joy. They declared together glory to God in the highest. There's the light breaking through the darkness. We also read in the gospel accounts the light and glory of God breaking into the sky as the star shone for the eastern kings to behold, to study, and ultimately to follow in search of this newly born King of Kings. Glory to God in the highest, hope has come. That's the incarnation. It's the fulfillment of God's promises through Isaiah. Glory to God in the highest. Now for many, this is a wonderful season of joyful celebration. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But I know that for many of you, even in this season of great celebration, joy is elusive. You're joyful in the celebration of Christ's birth, but many of you do not feel joy. Tonight I rejoice with those who are full of joy, and I weep with those who are beholding this great light from a place of sadness and darkness, perhaps depression, perhaps suffering. I find myself captivated this year by the hope that so permeates God's story. It's a hope, a trust in Him, that through faith I'm redeemed. It is done. He is with me, and He will come again. It is as good as done. Titus, Paul's letter to Titus said, verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that hope and we await the return. Hope is defined by Wikipedia as an optimistic state of mind that's based on an expectation of positive outcomes. Now, hope implies that there's little certainty or confidence in those outcomes. But without hope, survival is bleak. Hope in the face of a great need or a crisis opens one to a wide range of possibilities. And connected to Christian faith, hope includes and proclaims a trust in the God who is on His throne. This hope is not a worldly hope. It's hope in Christ. And that's what's before us in the incarnation. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he wrote this. You should see a slide here for Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Paul wrote, "Through Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, that's profound. But Paul's next words say more than that. And I wonder, nope, go back. Not yet. More than that. What could be more than access by faith into God's grace, where we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? What could be more than that? Paul continues. I hope this is big enough for you to see. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. More than that, we rejoice in suffering. It is perplexing for those that are struggling to have hope and joy and are wrestling with suffering and with darkness. This is for you. Because hope in Christ will enable you to envision God's positive outcomes in the midst of your crisis. By your hope in Christ, you'll be able to hold on to those when things appear hopeless. To trust in God who's on His throne, that He is trustworthy and that He is in control. Paul writes later in a letter to the Colossians, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That hope is powerful. That hope has been scientifically proven to be influential in recovery from illness, in recovery and survival of tragedy. And hope in Christ isn't to be found just in the world, it's through faith in Jesus. That hope is a light for any darkness, a light to cling to and to focus on when things are bleak. That hope is a salve for the wounded and for the broken. That hope is a crown for the joyful, for those full of the joy of the Lord. That hope is a crown It's a gift to be offered unto the world. You all need that hope. Wherever you are, y'all need that hope. When you're an individual in darkness, you know the light of Christ is with you, but the darkness is powerful. You need someone else to be Christ's light of hope. That's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we're not to be Lone Ranger Christians. When you're in darkness, you need others to come alongside you. Looking at the community of faith, church, you need to shine together as you worship together and then as you go into the world and serve together. You need to be full of Christ's light and his hope in order to proclaim that hope to the world. By faith in Jesus, God's Messiah, you can have his joy, his peace, and his hope regardless of your circumstances. It's a hope that will never disappoint. It will never put you to shame. Now, I don't assume that everyone here has faith in Jesus. I don't assume everyone here or online possesses this hope in Christ. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray. Perhaps tonight, for the first time, you're hearing this hope with new ears, and you want this hope. Perhaps tonight, you're here, and you at one time had hope in Christ, but the suffering of this world, your life experience has caused you to lose it, to walk away. Maybe tonight, you're hearing it anew and afresh. Regardless of where you are, I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, today I choose to put my faith in Jesus, and I believe him to be my Messiah and my Lord. In the words of King David, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin. Let me hear and know joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Amen. When you find yourself in a season of darkness, of suffering, where you find yourself crying out, how long, O Lord? You can know that Jesus has not left you, that he is with you, that his spirit lives in you. And in clinging to that hope, hope in Christ, you will find his peace. You'll find God's peace and God's joy. And that's what I pray for each of you, a renewal of that hope and that joy this Christmas. Now, turning my attention to Church of the Redeemer, as many of you are aware, we as a church are in a season of uncertainty. We're in a crisis. As we are smaller than we once were, we can no longer afford this building. And we will be moving in 2 months to a shared location with Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue. We need our hope in Christ to sustain us, to strengthen us, and to lead us into this new opportunity in a new place to be his people, to be his salvation unto the world. As we worship together and as we go into the world and serve together. Remembering the concept of the prophetic past, we have hope in Christ. We have Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit living in us. We can trust him because his future for us is as good as done. In the midst of your joy and in the midst of your sufferings, you need Christ in you to be your hope and your joy, that you might receive and rejoice in your Savior who was born. who has come into the world and who will come again. It is as good as done. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.